Now we shift gears. It's NFL time.
Yeah, baby. And a man who is one of the top-selling Geico insurance agents of all time, Mr. Lance Zierlein, a 790 in Houston, joining us now on Fox Sports Radio. What's going on, Lance? How you doing this morning, buddy?
What's going on, Michael? And
yeah, what's up?
I've got like 5 kids, so obviously Geico likes seeing me roll around.
Yeah, well, you get good rates on
But like, you got an offensive line.
No, you know what? I don't have an offensive line. That's the unfortunate part. I have like right now I have no, you know what? I have a debate team. I don't have an offensive line. I have a debate team. That's what I have.
But did you get them to break down offensive line play like you do? I mean, we might be the only two nerds in the country that love watching the interiors here.
Yeah, one of my sons, actually my 9-year-old, he'll sit and watch YouTube cut-ups of anything and everything that's sports-related. But the other ones, I try to make them, you know, I'll have them do Oklahoma drill against each other where they both start on the 5-year-old and 6-year-old, they both start on their backs and I blow the whistle and then they get up and smash each other. But, I mean, you know, I just consider that a Wednesday.
It's Father's Day every day here with the Fantasy Freaks.
Entertain me, minions. Lance Zierlein,
exactly
790 in Sports Talk in Houston. You can follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. Lance, we'll start off here. We've been talking a lot of NFL camp. Jerry Jones addressed the, you know, gave the proverbial vote of confidence. So I'll start off there. Has the vote of confidence ever actually been a confident vote for a head coach?
Not that I can recall, and although a lot of people would say, how in the world did Jason Garrett get out of last year? But, I mean, you know, for me, I wouldn't take any kind of vote of confidence from Jerry Jones. I'd take it always with a grain of salt. And you're looking at Jerry I'll be shocked if Jason Garrett's able to get out of there. I don't see Washington taking a big step back. I think the Eagles will take a step forward under Chip Kelly. And, you know, and Coughlin and the Giants are Coughlin and the Giants. I mean, right now I think that Dallas, their offensive line stinks. They're changing to a brand-new defensive front, so they have to deal with that. Tony Romo, for the numbers he puts up, he's a good fantasy quarterback for, you know, at times, but he's not a great winning games quarterback all the time. And I do love their secondary. I think they're very good on the back end, but I just don't see this team. That it just looks disjointed. They don't know what they want to be. They don't know what they want to do, and I just don't see that changing. I think that starts at the top with Jerry Jones. I mean, this is a guy who wants to run the entire team, but he's not always on the same page with his head coaches. He tries to run personnel, and he has no business running personnel. And I don't. He can give Jason Garrett the vote of confidence all he wants. He'll be gone next year. Callahan, who's calling the plays this year, he'll be gone next year, and they'll start fresh. And I think we all know that's coming.
We were joking about it heading into the arrival at Oxnard, one of our favorite towns in America, nonetheless. The idea that the East had been really quiet, save, you know, Victor Cruz's contract and subsequent Twitter outburst last week that we talked about on the show. But as we look at the division, a lot of what it comes down to is RG3 going to be healthy?
Yeah.
And do they have enough at wide receiver? Pierre Garçon, about his foot? I'm a little nervous that probably should have been a surgical move instead of the wait-and-see repair.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And when you look at the East, every team has their okay. This is I think every team going into a camp, you try to figure out what their big question is for the Giants. I don't know. I think for the Giants, it's how does a rookie right tackle Justin Pugh hold up, and how is David Wilson going to handle the running game chores along with Andre Brown? I think that's the question for the Giants. For the Eagles, obviously, it's how does Chip Kelly, you know, how does his offense acclimate itself into the NFL? I mean, that's a huge, huge open-ended question. And then for Washington, and the biggest question of the entire division, obviously, is when is RG3 back? When is he ready? And then how do they use him? I just got done with my fantasy quarterback projections last night, my initial projections.
Yeah!
And
let's get it on.
You know, I took him down from 815 rushing yards down into the 500s, and even there, I'm kind of wondering. There's just no way that Mike Shanahan will still run pistol, but he's not going to run as much zone read, and pistol's just nothing more than a formation. It's, you know, you can run your zone runs out of it. It's not just because you run pistol. I think people get confused like that means an automatic zone read, and it's not. But I think it just allows you like a shallow shotgun, so you have a chance to make your quick throws as well. But I think RG3's running yardage goes from the 800s down to the 500s. I think his touchdowns obviously come down as well. And how they utilize him is really going to be a big factor for figuring out, you know, where you're going to slot him fantasy-wise. He slotted much lower than I expected once I took away some different factors from him. I don't think he's going to hit for over 8 yards per attempt this year in the passing game, because I think teams kind of will get a little better feel for him. And to me, of all the rookie quarterbacks last year, and I know I'm kind of delving into another subject, but this is what I found interesting. I think Russell Wilson's going to, his interception total is going to go up this year. RG3's rushing numbers are going to go down. Andrew Luck, to me, is just going to go up. And I think Darius Heyward-Bay could end up being a potential steal as a wide receiver, too. And then, obviously, who am I missing? No, that's it. Oh, well, Ryan Tannehill. I think Tannehill's liable to go up. And I know Tannehill wants to do more running, and he's a big physical guy. And I think he will get more rushing yards, which we all know is the secret fantasy scoring.
I was going to say, that's where Percy Harvin landed, right?
I mean,
it goes to show you how you get void of the fantasy football stuff when I get into it, but Percy Harvin signs the contract, and that's the numbers that are going to be interesting with Tannehill and the number.
No, he's in Seattle.
I mean, it's Seattle. I'm sorry, I'm thinking Russell Wilson.
He referenced Russell Wilson.
That's what I was saying.
You got Mike Wallace and a lot of shifts in that Miami offense, a lot of changes and question of Lamar Miller. But going back, you mentioned rankings. I ended up with RG3 coming in at 13th, and I didn't feel particularly good about it.
No, I don't feel good. I'll pull it up here right now. But when I looked at my initial rankings for total points, and once again, these are my initials. They're coming up right now. I've got RG3. I've got him 9 right now at a total of, in standard scoring, 280. No. Yeah, 286 points. And that might be a little bit too high. I've got him behind guys like Luck and Kaepernick and obviously Peyton Manning. I do have him ahead of initially. Eli Manning, it's really interesting when you go look at your fantasy numbers, guys, and I'm sure obviously this is Fantasy Freaks, but when you look at how many quarterbacks can run now and score a Weasley touchdown or two per year and get 200 yards rushing or 190 yards rushing, it's just amazing how much that impacts quarterback rankings when you're doing it. You see a quarterback that you have ahead of another one and you think, wait a minute, this can't be right. And then you realize, well, There's the additional points from rushing yardage. And
you sounded like Gruden just there. This can't be right.
I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, how in the world do I have a guy by the name of Matthew Stafford? This guy threw for 7,000 yards and 11 touchdowns last year. Man, that's unbelievable. Who does that?
Well, if Calvin Johnson doesn't fall down 8 times inside the 5-yard line,
That sounded bitter.
No. It's just you got to take away a little bit from the receiving yards and receptions when he kept getting tackled at the 1. You got to be able to fight through an extra 6 inches.
I would think at least
2 of those 5 tackled at the 1. You'd actually get into the end zone. But I think the question that emanates from there league-wide is the number of these quarterbacks that we see running the ball. How many of them survive a full 16-game slate?
Right.
Michael Vick doesn't do it.
No,
is Kaepernick
going
to be able to? Is Russell Wilson going to be able to do it again?
You know what really struck me last year as I was looking at, and I got the numbers right here as I was inputting them, look at all these quarterbacks who end up with the most rushing yards. Now, not necessarily running quarterbacks, but when you look at rushing points in fantasy, Aaron Rodgers runs every year, 16 games last year. Andrew Luck had some nice, you know, running.
It's not pretty, but
yards.
He did it, yeah.
He was completely healthy. Colin Kaepernick never got hurt. Cam Newton didn't get hurt. It's Russell Wilson never got hurt. Now, I don't think that's the norm, generally speaking, but that's what really – it's interesting you brought that up, because that's what really struck me is, wait a minute, we didn't have, you know, cataclysmic quarterback injury last year.
You need another cigarette, Burns? Is that what you're saying?
Because we've hit that mark. It's like we're on the other side of the football roller coaster where we're just going up, and now we're diving right into it.
Nice, isn't it? It's nice.
Oh,
make sure you smile pretty or make a cool face for when that photo goes off.
It's nice. It's like when you get into the VIP. It's like when you're in Las Vegas, Peter, and you go to the casino and you've never been to the VIP pool, and somehow you go with somebody who can get you in there, and you say, oh, my God, I had no idea this was at this casino. This is unbelievable.
This is how the other half lives.
It's all those Super Bowl parties that we, you know, walk like you belong.
Yes.
And walk off with what
you've... There's a big difference between Super Bowl parties and Super Bowl media parties, I've found.
Much, much different. We're going to get into all of that. That's the voice of Lance Zierlein, 790 in Sports Talk in Houston. You can follow him on Twitter, at Lance Zierlein.